It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters back. So good to be here. Hope your week has gone well and your Friday is humming along. And also, don't forget Mother's Day on Sunday. Don't forget your mom, if you have them, and if not, you know, God bless. But I am very thankful, and I'm going to say that right now. Mom, I know you're listening on Friday here. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. So with me today on Rural Matters, and just a little preface, just a little bit of how this works. Jack Weddell is my guest, and Jack and our relationship started roughly 2.5, maybe 3 years ago. And it was through some people that we both knew out in the Monmouth area. And Jack has since been on this program. I've had his brother, who was a former Navy commander, Mark Weddell, on the program out of Dallas, Texas. Very big-time player for the Navy back in the day, also known as a Mustang SEAL. And that is like the SEAL of Naval SEALs. And also Jack's wife, Sherry, very instrumental in the medical world with Lazarus 3D, which is just south of us in near Corvallis. Amazing stories going on there with what Sherry's doing. And with Jack and I, it's developed into a friendship. And whenever Jack or I decide we're going to call each other, we need a block of time. It's not just, hey, how you doing? It is, okay, I've got 45 minutes at least, because that's usually what happens. And Jack resides in Greater Monmouth Independence area and has been involved in all kinds of construction work, electrical work, and is very tuned in and plugged into the political world, the landscape. By osmosis, Jack, your brother, of course, with his experience in the military world as a commander, and you've got other connections as well from when you grew up in Arizona, and certainly you keep up with things where your brother's at in the greater Texas area. Your recently married son is there. And again, with what your wife's doing. So, Jack, I think it was time that you and I got on, because we need to talk a little bit about what's going on in Polk County, where you reside, and the things that are going on there, and your observations. And then we're gonna do a deep dive on what's going on around you and here in the state of Oregon. And we may take it up another level and see what time and so forth generates for us. So first of all, hey man, Jack Weddell, thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for spending time here.
Well, listen, Jake, I sure appreciate you. You're a valuable friend, but I just wanted to say, I want to just say something about this station.
Right on.
You guys do so many good things. I listen to all the shows, usually after they happen on podcasts or whatever you call it. And anyway, this radio station is full of really good people, and you're doing a lot for this community. And I just hope that anybody listening who's in the position to be involved in making this show happen participates.
Appreciate it very much, Jack. Yeah. It's been a labor of love for me, and I continue to get people that I hope people want to hear about, particularly in the Rural Matters narrative. And it's easy to take that and expand it to what matters rurally. It's very important, urban-wise, state-wise, and vice versa, because what the cities decide to do affects what happens out in the country as well. Jack, I want to start talking with you a little bit about what is going on in your area. And let's start with, I think, a very good topic, one that this station really supports, this program supports, is the Polk County Fair. What's going on? Do you have any updates on what's going on over there? We've had some people talk about it, and Tim Ray had come on a few months ago. What's the latest out with the Polk County Fair by you?
Well, Tim Ray's a fine man, and I'm really honored that he's working with us at the fair, and he does a lot of good things at Chemeketa, and he's been a great addition to our fair. But originally, when I got involved, they were talking about closing the fair, I believe in May
of this year. Yeah.
And in my view, that was to create maximum pain for people of our community that support and participate. For instance, kids have already gotten their ammos. They're in the breeding program. You know, in my view, we've let our kids down multiple times. During COVID, they miss a big part of their life. And I'm one of those people that I feel like the fair experience is more valuable to our youth than any class they could take at any school, whether it's public, private, whatever. The just getting out there every day, getting off their cell phones and computers and you know, get out there. You got to feed those animals. You got to understand the ratios, the conversions to get them to the proper weight. You know, their health, you need to identify. You know, you got to be looking for signs. You know, I mean, it's something that is so valuable, in my opinion. And of course, my kids, I think a lot of their success, and anybody who knows me knows my kids are successful, and in my view. And
mine as well.
Oh, thank you, sir. But anyway, I attribute it to livestock judging, going through the fair process. And of course, we're a competitive family. We like to win, and we've done a lot of that. And we've also lost when they're, you know, it's the judge, you know, he didn't like your ammo, you know, and you know, and so it's just one, and there's trends involved, and you got to be able to go with the trends. And so anyway, I just so much support the fair. I've had difficulties at times with some of the people there. Of course, the commissioners are involved in who's involved at the fair. And so, you know, sometimes there's been a lot of things that you're concerned about and wish things could be different.
Well, like anything else, it's about finances, and it's mm-hmm. about, it's quite honestly to the public, it's about the facilities needing upgrades, and you being an electrician, you totally understanding that you see things, and it, ladies and gentlemen, it does. It takes money to make things happen. But I share your opinion on what a beautiful thing it is. And you know, you also, your daughter, I believe, she went to the Nationals on
yes.
judging, correct? Why don't you talk about that? We got a couple of minutes. Talk about your daughter.
Well, I hate to brag, but you're
you
forcing
should.
Me.
Yeah,
you're
I am.
Forcing me. So she was fifth in the country individually. And her team got second from Benton County.
And what? And explain a little bit.
Bruce Most was a hero of ours. Kathy Holmes, you know, just
yeah,
wonderful
right.
people.
Yeah.
And so, and even her dad Cliff was just amazing. You know, with the feeding program. And when you get into these situations, you run into amazing people. Well, we got the opportunity to go there twice. Once with the team that was very exceptional. And one with an average team, you know, and even that experience was wonderful.
What exactly was she judging, your daughter?
They're in the large animal barns where they're doing beef, swine, and
yeah,
and I miss one, but
sheep, perhaps.
Sheep.
There you go.
And that's our expertise is sheep, but and I miss that one, but
it's okay.
But anyway. It's such a great experience. You get there, you got all these high-powered farmers bringing. It's in where Louisville plays basketball, and it's a big arena. It's got all green shavings.
Kentucky,
the black fences, the blue grass. You know, I mean, it's like all American, man, all the way.
We take Rural Matters on the road. And Hunter and I participated in, for example, the rodeo, the last one of the fall.
Yeah.
Here at the state fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And you see the energy of the gals that are doing their horses, and they aren't confused. See,
no.
Here's the thing. I mean, and I'm gonna emphasize this until they pull me off the air. and when Jeff Morgan and I do most likely the Marion County Fair, which is going to happen right after our country's 250th birthday, which I think is just amazing. We'll do Marion County, God willing. And I know our plan is to be out in your woods to do Polk County. But Jeff and I just in between, look out and see young people like your kids were, that are just so animated. They've got a power drink in one hand, maybe their cell phone in the other, but they are like, they're young adults, they're young kids, 4-H and above. They are so on a mission. And this, I think, is so important. It's right up there. I mean, if you're big on Little League, you're big on sports, to help not only teach a winning attitude, there's no participation trophy here. You are got to put your best foot out, and your animals depend on you. And then if you do it right, you're learning a little bit about, capitalism, because you're going to get somebody that's going to overpay for your animal because they're wanting you to do it next year.
Well, shout out to Jeff Morgan and to the buyers that you just mentioned. We've had the Brants have supported us for years. Les Schwab's been wonderful.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And it's the same buyers, you know. It's the same buyers, and these guys, they're just amazing. They show up. They support the kids every year. They get their pictures up in their businesses. And so anyway, I just love the people associated
there. We have a blast. We're visiting with my good friend out of Polk County, out of Independence, Monmouth, Jack Waddell. Jake, Rural Matters, hang on. Round two coming right up.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters. Farm door wide open. Come on in. Using farm terms, we're not going to lock you up. You're not an animal. I hope everything's good. I can't believe how fast this year's going, Jack. I mean, I was driving through St. Paul and heading towards Newburgh, McMinnville. The hops are strung, so I think there's going to be hops sprouting around.
Excellent.
The ryegrass is growing. I mean, we are on full-on farm mode. And I know where you're at. Grass seed is all over the place between you and Dallas and all over. It's an incredible time once we get past April.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. I mean, we are in the fifth month of the year. All right, I want to finish up a little bit with the Polk County Fair. We started with that in the first segment. Somebody's listening and they care like you and I do, mm-hmm. or they're just moderately interested in, well, wait a second, I want to know, is there something? Talk to the people that don't know what's going on, and just, is there something they can do? Is there something the Joe average person can do right now?
Well, I have a good friend who's a farmer who came up with a solution that made a lot of sense to me, and that's selling a facility that is in the Dallas area, but in the county, and to take care of that initial big chunk of money that they claim they need. $1.5 million, I think it is. Something.
And like what this facility is in Dallas? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. A Polk County asset.
Okay.
That they could take. And this comes from a very smart man who I know.
Good.
Farmer in our community. And anyway, there's that. There's public-private possibilities that are out there that I've talked to Tim about briefly, and I'm trying to interest other people in that concept. There's our fair is in trouble, but so is several others. And a successful fair, you just mentioned,
Marion,
St. Paul stuff, but I'm familiar with Benton County. And Benton County, what a great place to go to fair. They have the rodeo brings in a lot of money there.
Sure.
And why can't we go from being a bottom of the barrel rodeo where we're at and ask them to, our fair is after theirs, ask them to use some of their panels and things and create an environment where we can get the big rodeo going on. Every year, we're full to the brim. Everybody's there. It's a lot of fun.
So the attendance is good, right?
The attendance is good, but there's no place to sit. There's only one side of the stadium.
Sure, I've seen that.
And it's packed.
Yeah.
But the thing is that thing should be people all around
circular.
It.
Circular.
And all we need is a bigger arena. And you know, they're having to participate in unofficial sizes in, you know, I mean, I don't know the details exactly. I was involved with Bowl-O-Rama for a while. My cousin started that. Yeah. And so your facilities makes all the difference in the world.
Sure it does.
People in Benton County and Marion County, they're people involved with fairs are good people, and they want to help you out. And why can't I think our commissioners could go to bat for us and help us to use some of their items that would make our fair first rate. And our revenues would go through the ceiling.
So, Jack, I'm not going to put you too much on the spot here, but you can give me this information later, which I could share some other time.
Sure, sure.
Is there another meeting of the minds, if you will, coming up that's going to decide the not so much this year, but the next year of the county fair for Polk County? Do you know of anything coming up? Because there was some seriously big meetings.
Yeah,
over the
and
winter.
I was there.
And
I,
you were there.
Yeah.
So is there more? What can the public do? Should they contact, if you're living in Polk County or not even in Polk County, should you try and get a message to the commissioners of Polk County and say, hey, we don't know a lot about this. What do we got to do to make this happen? What can a citizen do to help make this happen?
Well, for one, in my view, they're throwing around an August 30th date if they, and I hope I'm saying this right, if they don't get this levy or some sort of tax that they want, and so that's why I'm very interested in our commissioner race
coming up.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how much I'm behind John Swanson.
John Swanson.
I just have to say that.
Chief of Staff.
Yeah.
Bruce Starr,
Ed Dill, you know, and so he's just an amazing young man, and he's in touch. He listens. You know, I've been disappointed in some of the things they've done to this point, and I think it's time for fresh blood in there, you know. And so, you know, I think across the board, what we're really missing is term limits. I'm going kind of off track, but I think that should apply to commissioners also.
We're gonna visit on that topic in a little later, Jack. So,
yeah.
Obviously, everybody right now has gotten their ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, if you are a registered voter, okay?
Yeah.
And I know mine made it on Saturday, my daughters and I, and we're going to look that baby over here this week and get that puppy out.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope all of my listeners do as well. Let's, you know, I really hope, getting back with Polk County, that this will get worked out with the public-private. Tim Ray was expressing that as well back, oh gosh, when he was over, I think just after New Year, we had Tim on and all of that. And I know that this really weighs on him to make this work. I'm happy to have anybody that's working for the fair to come on and say, hey, this is what we need to do. And, you know, you, Jack, with your construction background, you know what it costs to run the electrical lines up and all around. Go ahead.
I have to say this, and Tim is a very good man. And whenever I talked to him was right after he gave reality to people. He's a real person. He's into facts. You know, he's into, you know, let's not talk about things that won't work. He hit an item that really meant a lot to me. I've done tons of wiring at both Polk County and Benton County fairs. Benton County Fair, you know, they put up a banner of your company, and it's nice to get some recognition and possibly some work from all that. I did the multiple barns, pedestals, everything at Polk County, and which is fine. I didn't do it for anything, but you know, it cost me money, it cost me time. I was a busy contractor, and there's a lot of people out there like that. Well, the electrical is the biggest line item at the fair, except for debt that they've incurred. And so their claim, I forget the exact number, but it's a lot of money in electrical work. I've worked on the distribution there. It's the distribution. I've literally worked in them. I've opened up the panels, and because that's what you extend from to do everything. And yes, it's outdated. It needs to be taken care of. But I'm also connected with half the electrical community in this state, and if we get people together and they get some advertisement, and most of them are good guys, but they got bills to pay.
100%.
And they've got families. They got kids in softball, you know, baseball, and mortgages that are out of sight, right? And so I don't think government is the right people to run the fair anyway.
It's okay.
I really don't believe that. And I think that we could have a huge rodeo. We could get concerts in there. They claim they have 700 events a year. Well, okay. What I don't believe it.
Well, Tim's a friend of the program big time.
Yeah.
And Tim had mentioned not so much the rodeo part or the concert part, but that also, by the way, and we're coming to the top of the break here. It is you mothball that the fairgrounds. That's also an emergency evac place, right? I mean, it's not just the fair, and yeah. Literally, Tim told me, at certain levels, you may not see it, but that facility is being used virtually sometimes with being a large facility, so to speak. There's several events that could be going on in corners of that place.
Absolutely.
Every day. Hey, we're talking with my good buddy Jack. Jack, we're going to finish off here. Rural Matters, break. Hopefully the news is all right. Come on back.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
All right, Jake, Rural Matters, microphone's burning up, so is my headset because I got Jack with me. So this is why I told you guys, whenever you call, it's like, I got to call you back, Jack, so I can make sure I've got 45, maybe an hour. I have a younger brother. It's the same thing. So there you go. You're a brother to me, Jack. We have such a good time. If you can't tell right now. All right. I want to finish up with Polk County. A couple of things people need to know, Jack. It is the go-to place in case of tsunami.
Yes, sir.
Got to have it, right?
Any disaster.
Yep. And then also, too. And then we'll...
War.
Yeah. We got to have... There has to be a go-to. And where it is there by Rick Reel, I mean, man, it's easy to get to, provide everything's okay, to a sense. Also, too, and I didn't know this, and you told me during the break, we had the fires back in, 2020 mm-hmm. or so, in and around that COVID time.
Yeah.
And so Marion County Fairs, or, you know, the State Fair area was open in Salem for a lot of stuff. But Polk County did what? You told me something I didn't know.
Animals.
Yeah. So whose animals were there?
The people from Marion.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact details, but this is what I've been told by others.
Yeah, it was...
So I never witnessed it or saw it, but I know that's why.
The place is relevant. I think we need to realize that. That there, you just don't shut it down and put a big gate around there because it's used. It just needs to be upgraded and perhaps just get the management to make that a better fair. And I think, you know, Tim's a friend of the program, and I know he wants it really. He's very much into making that happen, and he's done a super job at Chemeketa. I mean, we could just go down that road.
Yeah.
We've had some great discussions. Jack, yeah. I want to flip it now.
Okay.
You and I talk a lot about politics,
mm-hmm.
and so there's always stuff going on in any community. What are you seeing for yourself as a builder that you're, is there anything that you're concerned about? Are there things that you're happy about as far as doing electrical and construction? You've got your hands in this dike, man. You've been around the block on what's been going on with Polk County, with where you're at and construction things. What are some of the things that you face?
First of all, I could go on an hour about this, Jake, but the number one thing right now in our area is wetland issues. This map was made by the federal government many years ago, the way I understand it. And so I owned a bunch of property, and I still do, in the Independence area, where literally when Independence was underwater, my area was dry.
Okay.
But they put a line across the property, and another house I built down the street, the line goes right through it. And so this affects insurance, it affects your ability to get a plan review and go through the permit process, you know, what you need to do to build a legal residence. And by the way, that's why so many people put up curtains and everything and does their remodels when nobody's looking. And, you know, I mean, there's so many jobs going on out there.
Under the table.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to. And we also have multiple people shacking up, different families coming together. You know, it's a mess. Independence was and probably isn't now because they went from 54,000 to 40 on SDCs. But
what is, and explain that real quick.
System development charges, it's supposed to go into the utilities to redo the utilities for future infrastructure or current infrastructure, you know. And so our city manager just went back and got money for wastewater and you know, so, it, you know, there's a lot of opinions on it. Mine is that we're not doing enough.
Well, you and I were visiting, and we've talked about this quite a bit, because you do, and your brother have invested in properties in and around Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And you, just talking about costs, you know, we were talking about the costs to run electricity lines and upgrade at the fair in Polk County. Why does it cost so much more to build a house out here in the Willamette Valley, in your neck of the woods, as opposed to Oklahoma City, somewhere else? You know these numbers. Share in simple terms, condense it. Why such a discrepancy between a moderate sized house and an okay house in Salem, Oregon, but you go look at the real estate listings in Nashville, mm-hmm. Franklin, Tennessee. Why such a? And there, you get more for your money out there. What's the problem here?
The problem is our leaders.
Okay.
And we have leaders that don't know what a stem wall are. You know, a stem wall or any building, anything, making these crazy decisions, especially via the Oregon specialty code. You know, and the price of construction materials and the labor. Okay, so in Oklahoma City, which you just referenced, 2,000 square foot, 2,200 square foot home is selling for $250,000. Brand new.
Oh, wow.
Brand new. And
is it because of Stallone's Tulsa King show?
I think so. I think that attracted a lot of actors and stuff.
I gotta admit, he's got me hooked. Let me tell you. I love that show.
But it is a great show. But anyway, but what I was gonna say is that I'm an electrician, so the go-to thing in residential, the most commonly used material, is what's called 12-2 Romex. And down there you can get it for 69 a roll. It's 142 here.
Okay, so pause right there.
Currently,
so $70 for this roll in Oklahoma City or so, and you're telling me here in Oregon we're paying over $60 above that for 130 for the same exact thing, $60-some more. Wow, why is that?
Because of the leaders.
Okay.
Because I believe that Oregon, you know, when I first came here, welcome to Oregon, please return, or something like that. When you
don't California,
yeah,
Oregon,
you
all
know,
that stuff.
Yeah, and
which, by the way, we're from California, but that was back in the 60s, man. Go ahead.
Well, I bounced all through California, and I'm going to LA this week. So anyway,
call me when you're there.
But anyway, I'm just saying that there's a lot to that question. And a lot of it is we are not a right-to-work state. We're controlled by the unions.
Okay.
And so labor rates high, materials high. The cost of Independence at one time was the most expensive city in America to build a house. And they wonder why there's no houses. And you got our governor talking about, I believe it's 132 new houses, 1,000. You know, I can count on one hand what we've done.
So we're not close to that at all?
And anybody who is building is doing Section 8, you know, houses that you don't get any property tax for.
Wow.
And so even a big development in our area, because of who they were, what the contract was about, and all these things, they did not pay what we would pay. And I've been involved in the biggest private sector development in Independence that would have been just amazing for our town with big money behind me. And it's, well, it hasn't happened yet.
You know, we see instances, and we're gonna talk more about it in the next segment, where they don't understand.
They don't get it.
So let me ask you this, Jack, because driving around Salem, and obviously I'm in Salem way more than you, I live here, mm-hmm. a lot of apartments are coming up. So what's the difference there?
Section 8.
Okay, good. Talk about that.
Well, they give them out like candy, and you know, it's you go in there, you don't have the same cost. A lot of the tenants are subsidized, you know, they get money. And so what we've done, basically, Jake, in my view, is that we've built a society where the housing accommodates people that don't have normal jobs.
Okay.
And so they're not paying taxes. They're, you know, and not all, but a lot.
Wow.
You know, and so that's kind of off subject here, but.
I get what you're saying.
It's really unbelievable what is going on right now in this state. And the people that are leaving are not lower end people. They're people who create jobs.
Yeah.
And they're going to other states so that they can keep some of their money.
Jack, great spot for us to end the third segment. We're going to finish up here. Next one coming around. Hang on, guys. Roll Waddell.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, happy Friday. Happy Friday. And as usual, when we're in this time of the year, those of you that have followed me, and by the way, I'm hearing back from you. I appreciate it. Watch out for my farm buddies that are out on the road. They're hauling as fast as those big tractors can take them. And they want to get where they want to go just as badly as you do. And it's all to put food in our mouth. And the old adage that used to be on people's bumper stickers, if you eat, you are involved in agriculture. Not Costco, you.
Yeah.
You, Salem people, you're involved, like it or not. So don't be honking at them and giving them the you-know-what sign. Just let them get there safely. Lot at stake. God bless them all. And again, Mother's Day coming up soon. Jack, we were talking about building costs compared to Oregon and, you know, probably the West Coast compared to some of these great areas that you can go, wow, look what I can get for, like you said, $250,000. And so you say it's the leaders. I want to talk with you and we'll get a little impassioned here because I want to speak with the ballots out now. And I want you to piggyback on this with me. To you independents and Democrats, a little statistic for all of us. It has been since 1982, since we've had a Republican governor, and that was Vicatia. I believe that is the last time. That is roughly 44 years ago. Mm-hmm. In that time, we had, in the middle of the 80s, I remember just getting married in 1984, and then the Spotted Owl came into effect. That was before you got here, Jack. And it basically knocked down the timber industry for something that absolutely had no merit at all.
Mm-hmm.
In that time also, we have seemed to have become what we call a uniparty state, a one-party state, and it's pretty prevalent here on the West Coast, Washington, Oregon, California. And as a result of that, we don't have the yin and yang tug of war that we need to have in the debates in our capital, in our local communities, like where you are. We don't have that need of a counterbalance. We can't have this one-party system anymore. And so I'm going to rhetorically say this to any Democrat or independent that's listening right now, as you're getting ready to vote. Now, granted, you're not going to vote for the GOP if you're a registered Democrat. Are you happy? Are you happy with what you see in our state right now? Are you happy? Are you getting bang for your political dollar? And I don't even want to use the word tax anymore. I believe we are being stolen from and We're finding that with what Doge did back at the beginning of the Trump administration. Nick Shirley has been exposing that in Minnesota, California, and I think he even made it up to Portland for a little while. Are you guys happy? I'm not. And I want to galvanize everybody in this state, everybody in this city, to take a hard look at what we have right now. Jack, your thoughts.
You hit such a great point. I cannot for the life of me understand how, with this being a one-party state, the uniparty, there's, how is it that everybody who is on the, not everybody, but most, complain about our current administration? Our current state, they're literally blaming the federal government for Oregon's problems. We've literally have had total representation, even in the federal government, for most of the time that we have really
our waking
declined,
political hours. Yeah,
that we have declined as a state. And once again, you know, we're living basically in two different countries right now. One part of the country's prospering. People are not stressed. I know I leave a lot just to de-stress.
Talk about where you go and what do you see?
Well, I've been to Miami. I've been all over the South. You know, Washington, D.C., which was wonderful. It was before we cleaned it up. You know,
or the National Guard came out and did a street sweep, if you will.
Yeah, and you talk about Nick Shirley. You know, this young man, I don't know a lot about him, but, you know, he's out there exposing just straight-up theft. And some of the leaders are literally talking about him like he's like Satan. You know what I mean? And this young man is amazing to me, and he's... Just like Doge, to me, that was amazing too. And you know, honestly, until recently, I never thought about the massive theft in this country.
It shocked me once Nick started getting out there to Minnesota, Nick Shirley, with the Leering Center.
Yeah.
And you know what? And then we have they got the Somalias that were getting so much money. Again, my plea to those listening that can't stand Trump, can't stand Republicans, okay, got it. Can you take an objective look around our beautiful state of Oregon, actually the beautiful West Coast, and look at our higher gas prices? And by the way, don't blame the Gulf of Hormuz or whatever. We pay artificially high prices anyway. And you know what? I'm going to be very blunt. To you officials of our state who are doing just fine because you're not suffering for the policies you make, Governor. You get to ride in your big Suburban. You're covered security-wise. Love your house out there on Lincoln Avenue right there off Commercial. I've been there. I've seen it. Nice digs you got there. You got it. That's cool. What are you doing for us? What are you doing for us, Governor? Because we're not getting anything. We're paying more. And I'm driving down roads, Jack, as I go to Portland and back, you know what I do, you know, several times a week. And I'm looking there as I get south of the 205 near Oregon City, and it goes down to two lanes. And I'm like dancing on these roads that could be way better. Okay, I don't like that route. Then I can take the 99 off the Oregon City exit and go through Oregon City and go down those horrible roads right there and go up the Willamette River where there are some great roads there. But then you're getting in front of Aurora and, you know, getting up north of Woodburn. And I'm going, my gosh, we got high gas taxes because it's supposed to be for what? Road construction? So what? What am I missing? Democrat people, what am I missing?
Well, there's so many places I could go from here, but...
You got 2.5 minutes.
Okay, well, you know, you do realize that they're trying to set it up to when you get to Woodburn, you get on a trolley system at some point.
Is that what we're going for?
I'm pretty sure.
Are we going to copy California then?
Yeah, and they had a lot of success going up to Frisco, right?
Yeah, from Hanford. And, still sitting there in California.
Yeah, so... Anyway, the thing about the people on the other side is even though something's been proven to be false and won't work, they do it anyway. And they think as a group. It's hard for anybody to single out. People on what you would say the conservative side are individual thinkers. That's why there's 25 candidates or so for governor right now. You know, because everybody's on their own little quest. And so I'm just saying, Jake, is that we can sit here and gripe and complain all day about what's going on. But what are we going to do as individuals to change something? And people know you from the radio, my guy over here, and I'm a well-known person in my small little world I live in. But I also have connections to the very top of this country. And I'm going to do what I can, whether it's talk to the guy at the gym, you know, try to explain to somebody why where we're going is not best for them. I don't want to sit here and gripe. What can we do to make things better?
So I agree with that. We can be an audience of one as we go in our day to day. And that's very much the way the gospel is.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to, you know, we are numbers oriented people. We like to see big and stuff. But then Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains.
Amen.
Metaphorically speaking. I agree with that. But I want to emphasize, Jack, my appreciation for you, because I know that you get out there and you're not shy about talking to people, but you have such a great heart in it, because I'm not a spiteful person. That's not in me. But what I am is getting this sense of righteous indignation as we look at Oregon. And I look at Oregon because I love it here. We have everything. But I see in other places, and I'm going to be taking a trip here shortly to the Midwest, and I'm going to have my eyes and ears open, as Ben Franklin would say, before you get married, have your eyes and ears wide open. And then after, you got to have them half shut. Although I think you got to have more open and more available than ever. I want to pay attention. I want to see what they're doing. I want to know why we are stuck in this Democratic uniparty time warp. And it's not only hurting people that we've talked about, but it's also hurting the Democrats. So Jack, we got 10 seconds.
Well, I'll end with, have we not seen enough to quit doubling down? Do we not have enough evidence out there that what's happening isn't working?
100%.
You know, and what can we do to change that?
Gotcha there, Jack. Thanks for being on with me today.
Yeah.
Jake, Real Matters. Hang on. Happy Mother's Day, moms. God bless. Happy spring.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.